Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's wrong.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
Now's my shit together, is my shit together.
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Hello, the Workplace Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. Jim Lawler in the studio someplace, and we have Ricky on the board. On the board.
I'm here.
Well, you're here. You're over there.
I'm over here. We're at PTI Central Headquarters in Chicago.
World Headquarters.
World Headquarters. There we go.
S&P futures down 13, NASDAQ futures down 92. But for those of you who are hanging around instead of watching the snow or watching the Bears, trading silver last night, I've got silver down 338, which is 4%, trading 7381. Where do you suppose silver traded last night, Mr. Lawler?
I have no idea. I was
watching
the Bears.
What were you doing, watching the Bears instead of making dough?
Yes, I was watching the Bears.
I was checking silver prices last night for my clients, and it was over $80. It was up $5.
Wow.
And I said, you know, if the market was open, I might take a chance on some puts here, but the market wasn't open. And now it's down 350. That's like an $8 swing since last night. And gold is down $87. What? And now the market, I think, was up. And now the market's down. Something's going on here. So, without getting too much into politics before Mr. Flanagan gets on, I'm reading here that Zelensky wants a 50-year protection. What does he call it? 50 years of security guarantees. Now, let me get this straight. We got this guy in the White House who thinks he can do everything by himself. And so far, evidently, people are letting him do it. Now, Flanagan's going to come in, and I know he's going to say, Russia had every right to invade Ukraine because McCain went over and gave a speech about NATO. Now, I don't believe that for a second, but other people do. So, now we have Russia taking a chunk of the place. We're going to give them that piece, and we're going to give them more that they didn't even conquer, evidently, or that's part of what Russia wants.
Oh.
Now, who exactly, if it's not going to be NATO, who's going to give them this guarantee? Why would anybody believe? I want to see the thing end, because obviously one of our favorite girls, Angelica, we understand what they did to her hospital and her school and everything else. I mean, the Russians just obliterated the whole place. Now, are we to say that Trump, without a treaty, all treaties, by the way, do we still have to have treaties signed by the Senate, or does he just get to do it?
Oh, he gets to do it.
Okay, well, but treaties used to have to be signed by, we're going
to
guarantee.
It had to be ratified by the Senate. It has to be ratified.
Ah, yes. But what manner of moron would think for a second that, let me get this straight, we're going to let Russia invade. Now, we've helped them out to a big extent. We let Russia invade, take a huge chunk of their place, do a ceasefire, but don't worry, if they come back and try and take the other part, we're going to be here with boots on the ground. What moron would believe that? Without NATO? No, dude, this is going to be all on our own? Because we don't like NATO anymore.
No, we don't. But, you know,
we are going to guarantee
A 50-year guarantee, that's very interesting, because, I mean, it's very clear what Mr. Putin wants. He wants it all. He does not believe that Ukraine is a separate country. He believes it has been part of Russia for over 300 years, and therefore it's theirs. Simple as that.
Well, 50 years should be ex-Putin, one would hope. But, I mean, who exactly is the guarantee from, and who gets to sign it?
Well, Trump will sign anything to look good on camera.
If there were Jimmy Lawler's grandkids, and 40 years from now, or 30 years from now, they're going to get drafted to go fight in Ukraine when we didn't stop them this time?
That's a possibility.
That is a zero possibility.
Well, I mean, we look at it the way we look at it. You have a 50-50 chance, right? You know, we held Korea in half. We failed in Vietnam. So, you know, you got a 50-50 chance.
Well, we're not going to have a... Is there going to be a demilitarized zone in Ukraine?
I don't know. I would assume so. If he's asking for security purposes, you got to have something.
Well, that's the first I heard of that, but that's an interesting thought.
I mean, you can't just say, okay, this is yours, this is mine, we'll build a fence. That's not going to work.
Well, it didn't work for how many years?
It did and didn't.
Well,
but,
it didn't,
you know,
didn't until it didn't. You're right. It didn't until it didn't.
I mean, as quote George F. Patton, you know what walls are? A monument to man's stupidity.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you buy, you know, as someone said, like with the border wall, as soon as you put an 18-foot wall, the guy selling 19-foot ladders has got a booming business.
Well, that is the truth. Hey, we might as well, since we can't really solve this problem, although, you know, who knows, someday maybe some, it'll get solved one way or the other. It'll be determined one way or the other, let's put it that way. What do you mean? I'm curious, not that we are Stocks and Jacks, right, so I have to do a little of that. I am stunned. Well, maybe it's my business curiosity, because I always like to see how other people do business, because maybe it'll, you know, it'll help other businesses or mine or somebody's. Speaking of which, the market being down today, I wonder if everybody might take a look at their portfolio and see if they want to trade the next year exactly like they traded the last year. I'm not so sure that that's a good idea.
I also think you're going to have a lot of people trying to do tax it. You know, get losses. Get any losses.
Well, I always figured that since you're not marked to market, the day I write a $1 million check to the government, I'm going downstairs and buying the place around. You know, I'm just saying.
I'll hold you to that.
Yep, because it means I did pretty damn good, right? If I'm writing them $1 million check.
That is true.
Anyway, so Christmas and now Saturday. What is the NFL doing with all these other games that aren't on TV? I don't. I'm missing the point. They're trying to. They're saying their future is in gambling, and yet they're making it. And the thing is, I'm asking you, and I'll ask Ricky and John when he's in, because one thing I've learned is you sure as hell can't judge everybody by yourself, and it's probably good for everybody. All those games were all on some other service.
Yeah, Netflix.
And, no, Netflix was Christmas.
Netflix was Christmas, and Peacock was on Saturday.
Not all day.
No, just one game.
Because, I mean, I'm sitting there going, well, you know, I might as well watch some of these games. I was kind of interested in the Packer game, which turned out I didn't miss any of the ones on Christmas. They all sucked, pretty much. And so yesterday, I get over to Audrey and say, well, these will be on, and they're not on. So I don't know what she has, whether she's got Netflix or she's got Amazon or something. But her NFL network spot was live. So I got to watch the first game. So I go, she goes, where do you want to go to dinner? I said, well, let's go somewhere where we can watch the game. We go over to the Ashford House, nice place. This guy does all the catering and showed me the whole catering area. And wow, it was pretty interesting. The guy can cook 40 turkeys at one time, Jimmy.
That's a lot of turkeys.
You know what he's got? He's got those massive old, remember those old pizza ovens that actually used to rotate around?
Yes.
He says you can put 40 turkey pans, I think.
How many turduckets?
Oh, turduckets. Oh, there you go. I don't know. So we head off to the Ashford House, and I go, by the way, you got the, you know, you got the game on, and they go, we're not paying for that. So I guess in somebody's mind, a guy like me is going to sit there and go, oh, this will never happen to me again. Give me all five of these different outfits, and I'll sign up for all of them right now today. I guess, you know what, they don't know me. That will never happen. That will never happen. You're not going to force me. And you know what? We're at the Ashford House, sat up at the bar, a bunch of people there. We didn't miss it, Jimmy. And that's not the message that the NFL wants out there. We didn't miss it at all. Another question is, Friday night, after I dropped you off, I go home, I'll say, I'll watch the Bulls. The Bulls run another station. I pay specifically for sports channel to get those idiots, and they're on another station. I mean, are they pushing this a little too far, or is it just me being grumpy?
A little of both. I think they are pushing it too far, but they're trying to, you know, streaming deals. I mean, it's all about the money. It's saving ourselves.
But how do they get any money with less people watching? That's the part I don't get.
Well, they have Peacock paying you X amount, so you know Peacock has already paid me. Which is the Comcast streaming. They've already paid me. It's up to Peacock to recover their costs.
Well, that part I get. That part I get.
So, in the sense, if I'm an owner, if someone wants to pay me X millions, a million or so dollars, when normally I don't get that, I'll take it. And, you know, hey, it's your problem now to cover your million-dollar cost, because you already paid me.
Well, I understand that they don't... They don't necessarily care. I mean, if PTI gave them $40 million tomorrow for a game and didn't even put it on the air, they probably wouldn't care.
Of course not.
But at some point, you do have your brand to worry about. And I don't know where this all crosses over. It's not like I'm critical. I'm curious. But I think they're in their mind, in somebody's mind, they're so arrogant to say, here's a guy that just paid for cable and everything else. And, oh, by the way, the minute I kick him to this other area, the first thing he's going to do is kick up his phone and buy this thing. Well, they got the wrong guy. When the bar goes, we're not buying that. that's not happening. Plus, we don't want somebody here having to go from station to station to station looking for all this crap. You know, and it's... I'm just curious. I mean, I guess I'm curious, but I am. I am. So, I don't know where it all ends up, because you can't have... And on top of this, we've got Buffalo being built a new stadium essentially by the state of New York. We got the Bears running around from municipality to municipality with their hand out so much they're getting snowed on today. And then we've got Kansas City. I have no idea why it's so important for, was it Missouri to steal them from Kansas or the other way around?
No, it's Kansas stealing from Missouri.
Where's their bigger part of the city, Missouri or Kansas, since I've never been there?
I think it's Missouri, actually, is the biggest part of the city. There are actually two cities.
Okay.
They have two mayors, you know, and so it's called Kansas City, but you have Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri. And it's Kansas City, Kansas, that is the one that supposedly is hammering out the deal. And as you had mentioned before, it's sports gambling is going to pay for it.
This is so bizarre. Evidently, the state is going to hand... like the entire sports gambling proceeds over to the Chiefs.
Yes.
That is so incredible. I can't get there. So I'm sure that they sold sports gambling in the state for being like for the schools or some crap, didn't they?
Oh, probably. Or, you know, some way of convincing that is going to fund the bonds. I have no idea.
Well, I just... This whole concept of with all the stuff we just mentioned, it all kind of comes together, doesn't it? If you're going for this quote studio audience with all this gambling on the one hand, but then you want another big stadium on top of it, where these guys are going to spend, they claim $4 billion. I'm going to say I'll take the over on 5.5 on a dome stadium when the two stadiums in New York and in L.A. both cost pushing 5 without a dome, right?
True. They even said that the Kansas City, they think they're saying it's going to be $2 billion, but they kind of know it's going to be 4.
I'm going to say it's way over 4. I don't see how you could possibly do it when those other guys were 5 years ago were 4 and then there's no dome. Unless my numbers are wrong. So you do this, the Chiefs. Now we're paying. I constantly rag versus discuss the Bears paying the pitiful price of $6 million here in lease. All the listeners, guess what the Chiefs pay in the stadium in Arrowhead?
$1 million.
What is that? That's $100,000 a game. What does that place hold?
Arrowhead holds, I think, close to 75.
All right, so 75. I got to believe the ticket price is average. Got to average, let's say, 7. Say they were 100. So what is that? 7.5 million gate, and you're paying 100,000 for rent? That's not bad.
No, and now that, you know, it kind of amazes me, but I guess the Hunts are even cheaper than the Hallises.
And they're going to get to name it, too. Sell the naming rights.
Yeah. The state has the overall authority, but you know what that is. Hey, it's a great deal. Oh, okay.
So what they're doing differently is than the Bears. The Bears want to own the place, although they want to get as much help as they can from people, and want the state to give them a 50-year or 30-year freeze on the property taxes.
Correct.
So in over here, this one, since the state is going to own it, there aren't going to be any property taxes. They're not going to charge themselves. How bleeped up is that? That is so scary. Why don't we have the state build PTI Securities new world headquarters and pay them like no rent? Then there's no property tax because they own it.
There you go.
This stuff is just so bizarre to me. But all right, let's talk a little bit about the market next year. As a man on the street, we've been up all year. We've got gold and silver way up. We're coming back a little bit today. Can you just stick with your, you know, Fisher investment, buy them and hold them kind of thing for another year? Maybe. They did. We got it through again 1 year last year. I didn't think we'd make it through 2025, but it turned out record highs on a lot of stuff. A lot of individual stocks are way down. But if you're not in one of those, you just run the averages, you're pretty much pushing record. Can we do it another year?
Possibly. I mean... I just am not sure, what the pundits think. I mean, at some point, I saw a TikTok of Obama kind of slapping the president around saying, these are what groceries are. This is what this is. This is the Constitution. Of course, this is a TikTok. This was made up. And my question is how hot can inflation get before, you know, people realize it?
Before we get a CPI report?
Well, I'll do like the Chinese. I'll just hold it and tell you what I think you should know. This is the CPI.
We're getting there, aren't we?
You know, but it is clear that, you know, whatever people distrust of the government is running high. Because the average person, and I did discuss with my father, he being a higher income 1%er, I guess, type of person, the inflationary rate doesn't affect him as much because it's higher. But as I put it, anyone under, let's say, making $100,000 or less, it hurts.
Well, even your dad, who's got some scratch, went out to buy a new car and wrote a $100,000 check, he'd be shocked.
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't pay $100,000 for a car.
And not even, what is the high-end Beamer cost now, $100,250?
I don't know. I mean, I have a brother who's has a Toyota, 2016 Toyota at Corolla. It has almost $195,000, and he's like, well, I've been looking around for new cars, and I think I can get one around 30. And I was like, are you sure? My understanding is a new car,
the average price is like over 40.
Exactly. That's what I'm hearing.
But you can get something for 30. Something decent. You can get something decent.
A Kia? You know.
Well, I bet you can get a mid to lower end Toyota for 30. I'm not positive, but
a Corolla is a Corolla, but if you want, you know, the standard stuff, plus as I had mentioned, I don't think he's adding in tax.
Well, that's another problem, yeah.
Because when you add in tax, yeah, you're going to get close to 40, easy.
Well, that's the truth, and I don't think that. So here is, as a money manager and somebody who's, well, I've gotten new clients lately. Actually, more so than a while, but a lot of people have concentration issues, Jimmy. We get a lot of people with one or two stocks, which is, you know, we will do and other people won't, and we're good at it. And I don't think a lot of people want no part of that. They want you just in the indexes charging you a fee if the market goes up when they're not doing anything. But it'd be nice if I had like $1 billion like that. I'll see, I just put it in $1 billion in the SPYs and the QQQs down to Arizona, charge everybody 1.25%, and come back. That's not bad. Don't do anything. I think I should have been in a different business. What do you think? Anyway, we actually do a lot of stuff that's very individual, and when you do that, it's you know, pretty high intensity. But that's what I like to do. I like my clients, so I'm not going to change. Somebody wants to do something real easy, we'll do that too. Although we'll kind of wonder why we're not doing more, but that's the way things are. But yeah, two things are hitting the market. One is your valuations are pretty darn high. Actually, three things. Your valuations are historically very high. Now that comes with a caveat as well. If you look at the 7 or 8 or 10 or 20 stocks that seem to be leading the charge, are they going to be in this administration and any other? Because I'm not saying Obama was any big on antitrust, because he sure as hell wasn't. Are they going to be the 20 stocks that are left 20 years from now? We're going to be essentially a fascist place with 50 stocks and no one's up the ass of government. Nobody else can do anything. It's kind of, I don't think we're going to make it there, but it sure looks like that's where we're heading. And for instance, NVIDIA, I have some clients that have NVIDIA, not too many. We did a lot of subcontracting to do protected stuff for people for a while, and that was their biggest holding. Well, second biggest holding. Biggest holding was probably Apple. But these guys, I wouldn't trust the owner of that place. I'd trust my little Maltese friend dog before I trust that guy. If he thinks China's going to win, he's going to be right with China. The guy's the Harold Janine of our generation, in my opinion. But now, that we need that guy to get bigger. Like, we need a second, whatever hole. And now, they just paid $20 billion for a company last week? Think they're going to get away with it? Because somebody else who might be a competitor, they're buying it for $20 billion? We need that, I'm not going to blame this on Republicans. Nobody will stop that. Well, the Democrats either. They, I don't know if they're all in bed with this guy. Nobody will stop that. So you've got that going. You can't just say these stocks are way too expensive. I think they're too high. I better sell them. You got to be real careful with that, because the guy you're selling them to might be smarter than you that day. So why do people think that the incredible valuations of these companies are going to hang in there? They think somehow they're either going to monopolize their way into the number, grow their way into the number, or something. Or the federal government. So three things are happening. One is these guys are going to be bigger, it appears, because they're not going to be stopped. First thing is their valuations are incredibly high, both in revenue per share and in earnings per share. By the way, you've got a president taking over the Fed, essentially, and he's going to pour money into the system like with the Weimar Republic. So those are your three variables as I see them. Do you see a fourth, or do you think I'm right on the three?
I think you're right on the three, and I think I got to go get a wheelbarrow. Because if I'm going to go buy groceries, I might be carrying a wheelbarrow full of dollars just to buy four or five items.
Well, I think it's kind of not the groceries. It's sort of everything else. Because some of the groceries are competitive. Your chicken's not much more expensive. If you want to, you can eat pretty cheap, right? But if you're specifically saying I'm having a prime rib, well, good luck with that. I don't know what we've done to the beef industry, but pork and chicken aren't the same. If you want any kind of good fish, good luck with that.
Well, the beef industry, that's tariffs. The fact is we're not producing enough cows for beef, and it takes a while. You gotta have X number of babies every year, and we haven't. And then when the president decided tariffs are the perfect way, he slapped tariffs on Brazil and Argentina, and then they lowered them for Argentina to get their beef over here. But all we're doing is helping them and our guys. What's my motivation to have more cows if I could sell what I got and for a premium?
Well, it's like we taught the auto companies during COVID, make less cars and charge more.
Exactly.
Well, so having said all that, I think it's become a stock picker's market, in the sense that you really have to make sure you're in on the ones that are in with the government, which is pretty scary. I mean, we have clients that have a lot of stocks that had a horrible year last year, that they have concentrated issues in and things like that, because they don't seem to be part of the party.
Well, that's easy. Just find out who's contributing towards this monstrosity called the ballroom.
Yeah, well,
if you look at it, Microsoft, Apple, Meta, all these people have given money to this. Remember, it started at $200 million. Now it's at $400 million. I figure probably by the end it'll double by then.
If it ever gets done, I don't think it gets done in this guy's term.
Well, he understands aesthetics.
By the way, your buddy Bannon says he's going to have a third term.
Oh, of course.
All right. So, we got to go to break here. But before that, what do you think? I was pretty impressed with the Bears yesterday. Although the D is now the offense is better than the defense, I think.
Yes.
And San Francisco is kind of the same way.
Well, they have Bosa out. I mean, he's out for the season.
What happened to him?
ACL.
Okay, that's no good.
He's out. They had Kittle out, but they have...
Well, Kittle should be back, the tight end, right?
Right. He will be back. But Purdy, as they said, you're talking about opposites. Caleb Williams was the first pick in the draft. Purdy was the last pick in the draft.
I love that. Was Johnny Unitas even drafted? He was, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was drafted by the Steelers, actually, and then cut.
Yeah, he was like the seventh or eighth round, though. They had a lot of rounds back then.
That's true.
I think the Steelers are happy with that. Probably not.
No.
Where are those guys? I thought for sure they'd beat Cleveland yesterday, and they didn't. Cleveland's been better the last few weeks of the year.
Like I had mentioned on the way in, I don't think Aaron Rodgers was actually trying to do... I think Aaron Rodgers' only goal yesterday was to avoid being the quarterback that was the guy that gave Myles Garrett his record. He was just tossing the ball quickly. That's really what he was doing. He was trying not to become part of a record.
What do you say we go to break? Bring on Mr. Flanagan. We'll hit the standings real quick, and then we'll start talking about what's going on with the market here. S&P futures down 16. NASDAQ futures down 97. They've actually come back some. NASDAQ was down 130-something, but now they're only down 100 only. I'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
Listen, are you a 50-year-old person looking for term life insurance? Then you need to talk to Bob. Bob specializes in helping people find $1 million or more of term life insurance for a couple of $100 a month. Look, you need to know there's a price war in the term life insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call Bob, and he'll shop and see how much money he can save you. Look, this could be the last term life insurance policy you ever have. Your rates are guaranteed for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. And if you're a smoker or your health is not perfect, Bob has great rates for you too. So for $1 million of term life insurance coverage for a couple of $100 a month, call Bob right now. 800-989-1415. 800-989-1415. 800-989-1415. That's 800-989-1415. Paid for by Term Direct.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Allen, Ricky on the board. Jim Lawler in studio. We should have Mr. Flanagan on the phone. We don't do phone anymore. What do we do, Zoom?
Yes, we do Zoom.
Showing my age. S&P futures, down 16. NASDAQ futures down 97. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 4. Call that flat. FTSE up 18.2%. CAC round up 18.2%. So slightly to the upside over there. Nikkei down 223. That's 0.4%. Hang Seng down 183.7. Shanghai up 1. Call that flat. So a little bit bearish over there as a way of some kind of review. And Friday, S&P was down 2, NASDAQ down 20, so we had a 0 day on Friday. Bonds down 1 base point, 4.12. They've been hanging right in here, the 10-year. Bund, same thing, 2.85. Oil, up $1.18, but still, $57.92. It's close to 60, but it doesn't seem like it's getting anywhere near 60. Brent up $1.20, $61.84. Gold, now here's the news of the night. Silver traded 80 last night Now it's 74.48. It was up 5 hours. Now it's down 270. Gold's down 79.44.73. Still up there, but surely not 45.50 like it was. That's a big turnaround there. Foreign exchange, with the euro 117.6, so it's still pretty high. Dollar kind of low. British pound 134. It's back under 135, so a little bit of movement there. And we have crypto down 284.87, 226. It's right around his 87,000 number now for a while. Ricky, what do you have? Traffic, weather, sports, and the weather's been terrible.
Good morning, Chief. It's currently 6:36 a.m. here in Chicago. We're looking at 15 degrees right now with a high of 27. Very, very windy, mostly cloudy, and very, very cold today. We're gonna have some morning snow up to 1 inch today, and then some flurries through the day. Snow can cause some slippery roads and reduce visibility, so watch out for that. Phoenix, Arizona is the total opposite, 48 degrees right now with a high of 75. Very pleasant with plenty of sun today. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low of 54 degrees. How nice. Traffic in Chicago, again, roads are very, very slippery, so drive cautiously. Edens and Kennedy looking clear right now. Eisenhower is looking good as well. There is a Bulls game tonight, though, at 7 p.m., so you want to expect delays on Eisenhower. A little bit of traffic heading north on Stevenson from South Central to South Pulaski. And finally, mild to heavy traffic northbound on Den Ryan up to 27 minutes from 95th. Sports. Yesterday, Cardinals lose to Bengals 14-37 and 49. Niners barely beat the Bears 42-38. They are now 11-5 and remain at the top of NFC North. Saturday, January 4th, we had Lions at Bears 3:25 p.m. and Cardinals at Rams at 3:25 p.m. as well. Yesterday, we got Blackhawks losing to Penguins 3-7, and today we got Suns at Wizards 6 p.m. and Timberwolves at Bulls 7 p.m. That's all I got for you, Chief. Back to you guys.
Do we have Mr. Flanagan?
Yes, we do.
Good morning, all.
So, Jan, how would you like to be one to get your attorney license back, which I think you still have, and wander your way over to Sweden, where the city is being relocated? You see this story?
No.
Thousands of residents are being relocated in Sweden's northernmost city of Kiruna, which has got to be in the dark now, right?
Oh, Kiruna, yeah.
Which lies 160 miles north of the Arctic Circle. Yee. It is on the move because of ground subsidence from the expansion of the world's largest underground iron ore mine is making the city unstable.
Oh,
God. What the hell is that? My uncle used to say, if I live long enough, I'm going to see us mess up sex.
are they moving them to a spot also above the Arctic Circle?
Oh, I don't think they're moving them too far. You know, how far can you move a house? You read this stuff and you think it's like Bizarro World or something, or it's a, you know, Mad Magazine. Do they still publish that? I don't think so. It's just like, well, what
I'll
are
have to
we
dig into that? I think my brother visited a couple times.
God. So who exactly is going to give Ukraine a 50-year security guarantee when we don't want NATO involved, and we're not going to make any kind of a treaty the Senate's going to sign? Who exactly is going to guarantee these guys? You?
Not me. No way.
I don't. This is a. What is with these people? Anyway, so what is your what's your story on football not being able to watch it? What's your story on last year going out? And if you're an investor, do you trade next year the same way, or do you try and hedge yourself a little bit?
Well, you started to talk about silver in the first half hour. And what little I know about the precious metals run-up, this sounded pretty extreme.
Yeah.
Silver in the last couple of days.
Last
both
night.
Up and down.
Last night, $80.
Yeah.
And now it's at 74.
Those kind of swings are unheard of.
Yeah. I've had people in the metals, because some of my people are real conservative. They didn't want to go flying into the queues, 3 years ago, so we've been in the metals. And for a year or two, even though we made a few shekels selling calls against it, we didn't really participate. When I say we, that part of people's portfolios didn't really participate. 1 year, I think we started the year at 28 and ended at 29 or something. So there was really nothing while the rest of the market was going up. And now this year, we've had a spectacular last 6 months. And now it's reaching a point here where I'm going, now what do I do? I mean, it's, we can sell some calls against it and we make sure we bring our puts up so if it turns around, we're okay. But no, I mean, do I really want to pile people in silver here? Now, the answer is, it's not a metals issue, it's a dollar issue. And if Trump succeeds in taking over the Fed and essentially making us the Weimar Republic, and we double the dollar in the next 3 years, the double amount of dollars outstanding, well, then silver's probably going to double from here. But it's not any sort of a investment that I'm used to. Well, I guess I'm getting used to it because we've had government involved now for, 20 years more. But that's kind of no way to trade, John. I'm really just trading. I'm trading government policy, which, unfortunately, that's what you have to do. So you sit there and go, wait a minute. The silver's like way too high, but wait a minute. Whoa, it's not about silver. It's about the dollar. Because if we shake 50% more dollars in the system, it's not silver going up. It's the dollar going down, right? So I don't mean
something I noticed yesterday, and just because of the YouTube feed that I tend to get when I'm poking around, and you get related videos or counter statements or whatever, all of a sudden start showing up in your queue. But I was struck by how many videos were coming up about silver, and they seemed all to be AI generated. In other words, they were sort of the same looking people were probably devised in some computer program, and they all had somewhat similar titles to them they're all different channels, but they were all about silver. And the whole drift of it was, from what I could see, none of which I really can say I trust, but that this was a movement of silver from the west to the east, and the Chinese were really going at it because they need this for their industries the fluctuation was what seems so strange about it, because this isn't something that is apparently a new phenomenon. But why did it peak Friday, and then why did it pull back again?
Well, it wasn't Friday. It was last night.
Yeah, well, what was it?
It was $80 last night.
The market opened late last night.
Yeah.
It pulled back. But the run-up, was up like 10.
Well, here's the old time. Like, everything's old time now, right? Here's, in fact, last night, where the hell did, I'm going to say platinum traded 1229. That's last night, right? 1229. Platinum traded at a high of 23. Well, platinum was at 2471, and now it's 2333. But the definition used to be gold is pretty much a precious metal, even though it does have industrial uses, and they used to have use in people's teeth. Platinum is another, it's a precious metal, but then it's used in, your catalytic converters and things like that. Copper was always just an industrial metal, and silver was like half and half. It was like half, because you used to use it for film and stuff, right? Wasn't that the biggest use for it? So silver was kind of halfway between gold and copper on the precious metal / industrial metal stage. So the idea of having, now gold has moved up, but silver take the lead and run way ahead of copper like it has, little unusual. If you could give me a reason for that, other than it's running up and people got caught short or something, I'd sure like to hear it, because I'm kind of surprised, because we had, and platinum was, where the hell was it? It was roughly 1500 on Thanksgiving. Now it's 2300. Well, duh, and it's 50% in how many weeks? I mean, it's incredible, right? We're talking about something that, sometimes for a really long period of time doesn't do anything like that. Now, let me get the copper chart out here. The silver chart up here. Silver was, it takes a second to get there, but it's 74.70, which is incredibly high, even though it's down from 80 last night. Silver was, I'll get myself, I gotta get the, guess where it was beginning of the year, Jan?
40, 50?
Try 31. So, that's,
what?
That's what's kind of a lot. That's kind of a lot. Yeah, believe me, we a lot of times we sell covered calls on something. Friday had to be the first day in years we had to do two rolls on the same day. rolling up and out, rolling up and out. We can't keep up with the thing. Now today, of course, it's down somewhat, so we'll be easy. We'll have caught up or pretty close. But now I know people that have an awful lot of copper, and copper has been up, but we're not even close to the same sort of percentage move here. And why is that? Because it probably means that manufacturing is really not going as fast as other stuff allegedly is. This copper is now at 583, which it reached 582 in July, but it started the year at like $4, so it's up a pretty good chunk, but not the same. It hasn't like tripled or anything like that. So now copper is such a huge. Don't forget copper. Remember, it had the dollar down move. You were on the air in April. Now we had the dollar down move in the one day when all of a sudden. This is the one where I obviously convinced Trump and his gang. Actually, there was one in April, but the real drop was in August. It was on August, what date was it? August 7/29. Started the day at 5:58, and it went down to 4:50. And won one day. Now, we're talking about 25,000 ounces is in a copper contract. So, a one lot was 25 grand. That was the day where either Trump put the tariff on him or took the tariff off. He did something. And if his people were able to front run that, they don't need to work in the White House anymore. They could all retire.
Yeah.
I know some people who had our copper traders here, and they were just, a lot of times when you're a trader, and this is, you know, it's sort of interesting to retail people, because they don't understand it at all. I mean, it's I don't want to be harsh to retail people, but it's a different business than you're in. I mean, if you're a retail trader, you might have a broker, you might have a newsletter writer, you might have all the people you listen to on CNBC, whatever it is. You're gonna hear from somebody that, you know, XYZ is a great buy. Oh man, buy XYZ, and then you'll do your homework like people tell you, and 15 idiots tell you to buy XYZ. Now they may not be idiots; could be a great buy. So you go in and you buy it. And I used to ask people this in a seminar. I'd say to people, okay, you want to buy GE. Who do you buy it from? Well, what do you mean? I bought it. No. Who did you buy it from? What are you asking me? I just bought it. I called my broker and I bought it. You bought it like from the market. No, you don't buy anything from the market. You bought it from somebody. Somebody's on the other side of that trade. Could be the guy sitting next to you. Really? Well, yeah. I said, what makes you think that he didn't talk to all his idiots, and they decided GE was a sell, and that particular day he could be a lot smarter than you? Oh, how could that be? How could that be? I mean, duh. How could somebody ever be smarter than me, right? Well, as a trader, that's what you set yourself up for all the time. You make a two-sided market. Say Nike's trading down 29 cents. 60-64. What's my market in Nike? If I'm a specialist or a trader in Nike. Well, I'm 60-50 bid. I have 60-70. Somebody comes in and buys it at 70, then he wants to buy it at 72, then he wants to buy it at 80. I immediately sit there and go, wait a minute, what does this guy know that I don't? So it's a whole different world. You essentially do other. It's somebody else's idea to make a trade. Then it's up to you to figure out whether it's a good one or not, or how can I hedge it. And if all of a sudden I got a clunker, if the options are open, maybe I can buy some options or something like that. I have to find a way to hedge myself, or else I'm just, you know, kind of naked. If in a primary market, like the like your futures markets or in the New York Stock Exchange, you are the primary market, which is a whole different program. Now, in the options market, you're the secondary market. You can theoretically always go to the stock and hedge yourself. Now, at what price, then that's another story. But when this stuff kind of happens, you all of a sudden, if you're the trader, all of a sudden 3 days in a row, what do you suppose the traders in silver, they got to be licking their wounds like there's no tomorrow. But anyway, get back to my copper story. There's one firm that Jimmy and I know, some of the people there, they've had copper guys that have been trading for years, and they do okay. What do they say, without mentioning names, Jimmy, what do they say when they make like $250,000 a year working every day in copper? All of a sudden they just got jammed with all this premium, meaning people are selling them calls, selling them puts, and they were actually giving them grief about having too much time decay. Because if you own a bunch of options, you're losing on time decay, but if movement happens, then you do well. Well, the thing moves a buck, these guys made $3 million in one day, John. And they weren't even bullish or bearish. They just, that was their position. Because somebody comes in and sells you a boatload of options, and you buy the options, and you say, all right, well, somebody sells me 150 Delta options. And I'm a little too technical here on a Monday morning. First thing I'm going to do is sell 5,000 shares of stock or sell 50 futures, right? So now my position is long 100 options at maybe the $5 price, and they're, say, 20 cents a piece. So I'm 40 cents into those things, and I'm selling the futures essentially not naked, but as a hedge. Well, if the thing drops it down, those options probably aren't 40 cents. They're probably a dime in the copper. So if all of a sudden the thing drops a dollar, what happens? I lose 20 cents on my two options. I make a buck on my short copper, right? So I'm 80 cents to the good on this thing. On a position that I'm gagging because of the time decay. Now, you understand all that?
I think so.
I hope somebody's... It is Monday morning on a cold and windy day, so I might be a little over everybody's head. But this is the kind of stuff that happens. So when these kind of moves, they're unprecedented. And if you're making a market in this stuff, what if you're some poor guy making a market in the silver last night? All of a sudden, everybody in the world is buying. You sit there going, and then you're gagging on this, the short position, and all of a sudden it turns the other way. I'll bet the specialist was the buyer when I at the top. I got to get out of this. Somebody had a really rough night, and somebody is buying drinks already someplace this morning in the silver contract.
Well, you know, putting this in the geopolitical framework too, because these are you know precious metals that are scarce, relatively scarce. I mean, there's not like a ton of this stuff around. You know, you can just sum it up when you want it. But when there's politics involved, as there seems to be in all of this precious metals, there always has been. I mean, this is based on whatever valuation or a country's desire to corner it or build a kind of presence in it. Does this kind of make it impossible for a trader to understand what's going on because the players are too big? That their governments, their alliances, there's stuff behind the scenes that a trader may or may not have any expertise in, or
we can handle a change in a tariff in something like that. There's no trader in the world that can plan for that. There's no way you can do that. How can you?
But I mean, even when it comes to like strategizing, right? If a government decides here's where we're going to go with AI, here's where we're going to go with a commodity that we've got something, we've got a technology, we've got something we've guarded pretty well. Nobody else knows about it or is in any position to compete, and we're just going to go full steam ahead and let other people catch up if they can. But you're not playing with a kind of playing field that's equal, or and it's designed not to be equal too.
Well, it's good. That appears to be getting worse and worse.
Yeah, and that's what kind of position are traders in when it's not just traders who are on the other side of these deals? It's schemers.
Well, take a simple one. We have some of the guys on our loop are all over. Biden, pull oil out of the reserves and didn't put it back? Okay, who gives a crap, basically? Because when the reserve was there, was it Bush or somebody, when we did the strategic oil reserve, we're producing 5 million barrels a day, and now we're pushing 14. All right, so when people totally rag on Biden for not putting stuff back in there or not, but I will answer our people back and say, okay, let's all sit down today and find out how much do we need in there. There's no number that Congress or anybody had said you must maintain. The number was, say, 100 billion barrels, and now it's 90. Okay, it's less than it was, but was 100 a goal? Was 100 just a number we happened to sit with? When it was 100, what were we making a day? But right now, every morning I say this, oil can't get out of its own way. What if Trump next week says, now, hey, at this price of gold, or this price of oil, even though the government's broke, we're going to decide to put back, we're going to pay up to 70 to put 300 million more barrels in there, or a billion more barrels in there, or something. Well, how is Jan Flanagan or Jim Lawler, oil traders, how do you scope that one? Unless you gave the guy a bunch of money 2 weeks ago, or you got the phone call. He's no more bought off than the other people probably, but unless you get that phone call, how would you? We're talking about something out of the blue, right? How do you manage right. every day thinking that's going to happen?
I mean, there's got to be a growing presence, that kind of imbalance or lack of transparency when it comes to trading.
I'm saying that's something, when long-term capital had their problem going on in Russia and the Federal Reserve, in order to pay people back that were broke, essentially lowered the discount or lowered the interest rate on a Friday morning of expiration in the OEX. And I knew friends that were carried out, and they did that on purpose and told some people, essentially, you get ahead of this one. So, sort of like the movement in Casablanca, where you got the guy to plane ticket, right, on the crap table. And one guy said, is this game straight? Or remember that scene?
Oh, yeah, the letters of transit.
No. I'm talking about one of the young couple, and she was going to...
Oh, and Rick, tips the tables and lets them win. And then they get the money, then they buy from, what's his name, Claude
Rains. She was beautiful. And Claude Rains said, if you meet me upstairs, I'll get you the dough for the things, right?
Yeah.
And so Ricky, in an attempt to deny Claude Rains his prize, rigged the roulette table, right?
Yeah.
And one guy's sitting there.
I'll be at your office tomorrow at dawn. And he said, make it 9:30. He's in no hurry,
So, and then the one guy playing, is this game straight? it's absolutely straight. No problem. Like, okay. How does somebody plan for something like that? It's there's a name for it, and it's called the Black Swan event. How do you guard for the the White Buffalo event if you're a Native American, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, how do you decide all of a sudden 1 year there's going to be an albino buffalo? And how do you bet on that? Well, right now we've got people making these moves. When I say right now, it's more obvious now than it used to be, but people always did it. A dollar to gold ratio now, John, right now is how much per ounce? What the government has.
Oh, I have no idea.
$9,000. You know where it was in 1913? 26.
I'm afraid to hear.
26.
Well.
And right now the predictions are that in 5 years from now it's going to be $12,005. So if that's the case. Why would you not want gold for the if this is the policy, inflate the currency. I'm not saying you want to be long this morning because you'd be down $8 stuck up your behind in silver. But at some point, would I want to keep 2 years ago? If you asked me, do I want to keep my people in silver at $68? I'd say you'd be out of your mind. Well, now I see what's going on between the Fed and the president. I'm not so sure I don't want to. For reasons totally had nothing to do with silver itself. One of the interesting things here, the question that you and Jimmy should be asking, if that's the case, why all of a sudden, in the last 6 months, is this Bitcoin not only hit, it's still 30% off its high and it's not moving? Is there something wrong there? Is that one hack into the, that one exchange, wherever those things are? Are people now afraid of this Bitcoin? And what would have been going into Bitcoin 2 years ago is now going to gold and silver. I don't know the answer to that, but it's a question that you have to ask, right?
That seems to be a decision, and it's kind of stuck. And is there any accounting for it? Is there any explanation? Is this where we have to have spy networks and intelligence operations to really dig in to figure out what's happening? It's clearly visible in the markets, but maybe invisible from a business standpoint because it's not really a business decision as such. It's military, it's political, it's way beyond that.
Well, yeah, and you know, what if the move in the dollar, what's it done to people accumulating wealth? What do you think the average Russian peasant, the average Russian peasant, a horrible thing to say, that might have had $300 bills 6 years ago, how are they doing with that? It's not worth near as much as it was, is it?
They need to get a bigger mattress to put it in.
Yeah, need a bigger mattress. We need more of the $100 bills. So what do you think of the people in Kansas City going to get this huge stadium in Buffalo and the poor Bears? Nobody wants to give them anything.
This was news to me. I was pretty interested to hear about Kansas City and what the gambling is earmarked for the stadium.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Jimmy was one of the sense to me. It's unbelievable. And they're only going to pay $7 million rent in the new place. It's going to cost $4 or $5 billion to build. How do we get that? How do we get somebody to make PTI a world headquarters that costs $300 million and charge us like $2,000 a month or something to rent there?
You have to start moving in different social circles.
Well, come on, Tom. They are paying seven times more than they're paying now.
That's
true. They're only paying $1 million, and now they're going to pay $7
million. Yeah.
Float that by the McCaskies. Oh, by the way, you're paying seven, $6 million. I'm going to have to raise it to $56 million.
Yeah, it's I'm curious, John. It's not what people do weird stuff, but in the business I'm in, which always brings me back to this, and you've been asking the right question. So has Jimmy earlier. How does this affect what you do for people and how you invest for them? Is it something that you need to change today, or do you sit there and go, I'll let this one play out for a while? I mean, right now, where exactly do I plunk? We've had this tremendous last few months in the gold and silver for people. Well, where the hell am I going to find something that's going to double in the next 6 months? Now, we've had Kenny Pocari and a few other people saying, be careful. If this keeps happening with the dollar, you might end up with oil starting to move up. Yet, on the other hand, the whole world seems to be awash in oil. So that there's everywhere you look, there's a reason to make the positive trade and the negative trade, right? I mean, every bitch is about Venezuela not coming up with enough oil, and that's why Trump wants to fight them. But who are the countries next to him, Jen? They used to be the three different. What's the name of the three countries? I should know this. Right next to Venezuela, it used to be the three different, with the Portuguese somebody and something somebody. Now they're all one country. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, well.
I'll get the map up here. But they're exporting like 1 million barrels a week or something. They didn't used to do anything. There's like 20 countries that are exporting oil now. Smaller ones. But still, I mean, the world is kind of awash in oil. And the U.S. is actually slightly positive on their oil here, on what we're drilling and what we're using. We're like 21 million total we're coming up with, and then 20 we're using or something like that. So you look at that and you say, wow, maybe oil belongs here at $57. Then you say, wait a minute, if there's twice as many dollars in the system 3 years from now, even if oil is the same relative value to everything else, it's going to be worth a lot more in relation to the dollar because of the dollar, correct?
Yeah.
Jen, I didn't need any more variables. just saying. All right, so you weren't on the other day on Christmas. Talk about things that you don't think ever come together. We had some people bashing the car windows in front of my house last week. You call the police, and they're not interested. Okay, well, that's fine. They're not interested in much anything. Although they have, I like the new police chief, and they've done pretty well on the violent crime, even though there was some huge blow-up again in near North the other night. So then we go to the dog park on Christmas, and there's some guy sitting there with his old dog, and old dog. I started talking to him, imagine that, and he says, I'm really worried about my daughter. And I go, how come? And he goes, well, she got out of the house and she's doing well, and she bought this, I forget whether he said a condo or a small house, and somewhere up on the north side, like maybe by you. And so she's doing fine. All of a sudden her tax bill just went up like $5,000 or something. And he goes, she just doesn't have it. She doesn't have another, you know, $400 a month for taxes. And she's right on the edge. She's okay there. I mean, she figures she'll get a promotion and raise this year, and all of a sudden, she's got this. So, okay, we go from the police not wanting to do anything to somebody's taxes going up another $400 a month. I mean, it's sort of connected, isn't it? Because what if the same person had to go out and buy a new window from the night before?
Well, one of the, you know, the big reason the taxes have gone up so dramatically is because they're offloading the deficits and loop properties, which can't cover the bills anymore. So they're putting it off on the taxpayers and, you know, residential districts. And the reason they it's happening in the loop is because of the lack of, you know, police protection to make people feel comfortable to, you know, inhabit office space and live down there and walk around freely. And instead, they're, you know, they're just like prisoners. And, you know, for a business, you're not going to get anywhere trying to invite more people to come downtown if there's no place to eat or no place to feel safe. So, you know, the lack of police there is, you know, at least the lack of this perception of safety on the part of the people who walk the streets is a big reason why, you know, the tax bills are going up. And, you know, they're inextricably linked. And if you were to double the size of the police force, that might be a start, you know, but it isn't going to fix the bigger issues of how to recover what you've lost. Where are you going to put it? How heavy do you want to go with that? Would the National Guard have been a good signal to businesses to at least show that there's some desire to make a change here? I don't know, but it doesn't look like there's any interest in sending those signals out. So I just predict the tax bills for, you know, you and me and other people are going to continue to skyrocket.
I don't, you know, it's so bizarre, John, when you look at this and you've been around a while, you wonder what is even really the issue. And I'll use the term, I went to New York back in the 80s when I first started, and you went around that Times Square area, there's nobody there. There had, you know, a bunch of porn stores and a bunch of, but I always want to see Times Square, and I'm looking around going, it's like the theater district. There couldn't have been more than a few theaters open, and there's nobody there. So if you see three or four guys trying to bum a buck off you on the corner, you know, I was 20-some-year-old, I was 30 years old, and I was, it was bulletproof, right? Big guy. It didn't bother me. Yet, somebody else walking around there, some 50-year-old, you know, maybe a lady or somebody, walking along, and there's like nobody else except a few people. You wonder if they're going to jump you. No, they didn't. But it's a whole different program. I mean, back before guns, you know, I felt if this guy who could barely walk jumps me, I got a pretty good chance here. The downtown area right now, walking around, if you went out here to go, I go to Lakeside Bank to go, you know, to put money in the bank, at noon, I'm the only guy on the sidewalk. There's nobody here. So if you have three slack-jawed dudes hanging there, that don't, quote, use the term belong, it's a problem. I mean, it's a perceived problem. But if there were 500 other people walking down the block like there used to be, the trading floor, you wouldn't even notice them. Nor would they probably even be here. So I guess I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying, how do you start? You know, what do you do first? You've got to make it so your rapid transit system, your ability to get people to work very cheaply, is an advantage and not a disadvantage. Because right now, I think most people, especially moving to the West Loop, they don't want people to be able to get in the area. They just can throw some money on a train and get down here, or not throw money on a train and get down here. Right? I mean, where am I wrong with that?
Right. And the people who are, you know, inhabiting transit, you know, and, you know, it's, you know, there's no enforcement of vagrancy laws. I'd be amazed if here they're still even on the books. But that somebody can camp out on an L car and ride it back and forth, you know, all through the night. And, you know, I'm not saying that necessarily they're the threat, because they're probably more threatened than a lot of passengers, and there's a lot of homeless people who've been, you know, shot up and killed, you know, not hurting anybody, but just kind of riding around. But once they become the profile of the typical transit user, then I think all bets are off, because anybody is a sitting duck. It doesn't matter if it's there's any money to be gotten from robbing somebody or just getting your kicks by, you know, tormenting somebody or killing them. This just becomes kind of a sport. And, you know, nobody is presumed to be safe. Doesn't matter how old you are or what gender you are or anything else. So I'm kind of, you know, the willingness of people to get on an L car and go anywhere after dark now. I mean, you got to either be extremely naive or extremely full of yourself or, you know, extremely stupid. Or
well, you just, can, you mean, know, Ravens, I mean, but why is it that people don't, Johnny, I think you were on when the mayor of Forest Park, so which is a western suburb, well, it's not that far out of the city, but it's west, and it's the blue line ends there, correct? One of the,
right.
And so the mayor comes out and says, you know, what we really need with these people riding the train, you know, all hours of the day and night that are essentially, this is their home almost, said we need to build a urgent care clinic right here. We should meet that train, every train, with two or three ambulances, and we should go through there, and the people that can't even stand up, because these are massive medical emergencies that are totally untreated. There's mental emergencies. There's people that have not a chance of being able to make, you know, have a job or something. Because we need to deal with this like it ought to be dealt with, instead of just sending them back the other way to O'Hare. Because what are we doing? I mean, he's not wrong, is he?
No. Well, that, remember, you know, the case where the four homeless people were shot up, and the, yeah, the train ended up at Des Plaines Avenue in Forest Park at the end of the line with, you know, four dead bodies. And
yeah. I mean, but you can't. Everybody just complains about everything and doesn't do anything. Same way with the medical stuff. I mean, this is, you know, we listen to, you know, Carl, who comes up with all the right stuff. I mean, obviously, I go back and forth with him about his solution to the issue, but I don't see how, given the first month of the fiscal year, that we can continue ignoring. Now, you know, maybe the fact that we're not going to subsidize the insurance will make the federal government look better, but it sure is not going to help let the health of people better, is it?
No.
I mean, I hear story after story of people that can't get in and see somebody, and all of a sudden something that should have been a smaller issue is a bigger issue. And do we have any idea? Is there an adult in the room anywhere, Jen? It doesn't appear to be, does there?
No, none of this was supposed to happen. You know, you can keep your doctor, and it was presumed you'd be able to get in, you know, just within a couple weeks lag time, maybe. Now it's 6 months or a year to get in to see a specialist, depending on what you need the specialist for.
You'll be long dead.
And you can be dead, and, you know, long before that appointment comes up, so.
Well, I mean, when Obamacare came in, because it was a while ago, when it says you can keep your doctor, okay, did Obamacare anticipate that nobody's going to have a doctor 20 years later?
Right.
I mean, who's going to? I do, because I have to pay for one. But, I mean, how many people do you know have a doctor? You go to urgent care, you go to hospital. The hospitals don't let doctors in anymore. Right, even if you're on resident, whatever they call it, if you're listed there, if you're the doctor, they'll send you all the results of the tests and everything, and you communicate back and forth, and they can talk to people in there. But they're not in there anymore. And then
a lot of people, it's not, you know, they've got more of the doctors than they need, or they got, you know, peripheral doctors, or they got physician's assistants who are running interference for doctors, who tend to be the point people you go to these days. And that saves your doctor from having to answer an email or something else, or somebody else filters it before that doctor ever sees it. So you got, you know, doctors doing less and less of, you know, communication with patients, let alone directly seeing them or looking at them or listening to them. And, you know, there's fewer people to get into when you need a doctor fast. To rule out some condition or, you know, to spotlight something, you need a series of tests, and you need somebody who can deliver them fast and somebody to read them fast, and, you know, everybody agrees on what's going on. I just see that process has just been dragged out, you know, interminably now. And of course, in the meantime, you know, people do get really sick and die. You know, the doctors can't do much for you then. So, I
well, then
I
guess, they run up the bill.
Yeah. Well, I kind of foresaw this, you know, even before Obamacare became an issue. That's the way things seem to be going with the, you know, the corporatization of doctors, who became, you know, less and less practitioners and just employees for somebody else, or some stockholder group that they didn't know intimately, but they were taking direction from them. And I could see this happen, you know, 30 years ago or more. And I, even the doctor I'd had for a long time, I could see he was becoming more distant, not personally, but just in what he seemed capable of doing. And
well, yeah, you end up with one doctor and five other people chasing insurance and doing other stuff in the office.
Yeah.
And he can't afford it, not to mention the, any kind of insurance on top of that. So you end up joining these groups, and they tell you what to do, and you, you know, you can't even prescribe what you want to prescribe.
And, you know, doctors and their, you know, owners, their employers, started to take over, you know, the areas of specialization, too. So you have the hospitals with their own, you know, orthopedic people. They used to outsource that to other places with other specialists. And there were several of these things around you could go to. Maybe you get different results, but you could get an appointment fairly quickly. Well, now when the hospitals have gobbled that up, just like they've gobbled up the doctors, there's fewer and fewer spots available to see people, and you got, you know, little or no disagreement among these people because they're all working for the same master.
Yeah.
And you don't get a lot of freedom to go off the reservation for trying a prescription drug or a therapy or something else that hasn't been approved by your boss. And, you know, forget trying to go someplace else these days and just abandoning what you have, because you're likely to get something worse in the process.
Well, you asked earlier, and Jimmy and I were talking about it before you came on, what are the events this year that you have to worry about? And that's why when I ask the listeners that have, I think a lot of them have a lot of money in places where you're not hedged, you're not protected, you're happy as a clam because all the market does is go up. And now we're talking about what kind of black swan events can happen. And I'm going to say, John, and I don't want to be, you know, clairvoyant on this one, but I sense the same scenario as everybody's hero, Dutch Reagan, when he was in office, and he put through this massive tax decrease on all his, well, I won't say his buddies, but mostly the upper class, but other people too. Thing of it is, though, the inflation ate up the savings of the other people way quicker than it did the bigger people. But let's leave that alone for a second. But when, even though he had, you know, he had the Congress behind him and everything, the hit to the federal budget was so dramatic, way more than he anticipated. Okay, with all the BS that, you know, on both sides essentially give the office of the budget when they put through these bills. People forget about the part about a year and a half later, he had to put through the then biggest tax increase, correct?
Yeah.
Now, it was different. It was a payroll tax and everything else, so he essentially cut the tax in one group. When he put the taxes back up, he put it up for another group, you know. So now I'm going to say that if the numbers keep coming the way they are, as much as Trump doesn't want to do it, somewhere in the next 18 months we're going to have a tax increase. I don't see how the hell you can't. Now, I could be wrong, but I give it a 20% chance, 25% chance. Or else we're just going to keep going down the rat hole, or they're going to stop paying for more and more, one or the other. Okay, so if that happens, what do you think that does to the market? Now, is that something I should be planning for people? Should I have two puts instead of one for every share of stock? I mean, part of what goes through my mind as a money manager, I mean, that's when you come right down to it, that's what I do for people. I worry about this crap so they don't have to, right? Isn't that the job?
Yeah.
So you ask me what could be an event like that. Well, I don't know what happened to silver last night. I wish I did. Maybe it just was too high, or there was a seller in, or who the hell knows. But, you know, now this year, how do I handicap all this stuff? I mean, I'm asking you or Jimmy, you guys are, you know, how do you decide that, I mean, right now, if you were to say that there's a 30% chance of a tax increase come June because the government's absolutely flat-ass broke, where's that in the news? Nowhere, right?
No. Well, remember, you know, after Reagan did his tax cuts, you know, and he was the messiah of, you know, get the government off your backs and, you know, smaller government, blah, 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 blah. And the government exploded under Reagan. There was never any desire or evidence of cost cutting or reducing spending under Reagan. And that's why, you know, the tax cut exposed how quickly the government could become insolvent if you reduced the revenue and you didn't reduce what you were spending. So boom, the tax cuts get reinstated, a year and a half later. So, Doge was supposed to be this harbinger of smaller government, cut back on spending, and there were some high profile examples of ways. It's not hard to find those these days.
But what is the significance of them? Nothing.
Well, and in the long run, does anybody think that Illinois is going to shrink its government unless it just has declare bankruptcy? No, there's no desire at any level to reduce spending.
But people, to go with the Doge stuff, everybody, boy, I say this way off too often, it's the saloon in South Bend. Everybody other than you is overpaid and doesn't work hard enough, right? But if you were to take, I seem to have a piece of paper somewhere in the office, of course, that I can't find. The amazing amount of money that goes to the government goes back out to other people. I mean, the guy who lowered the bureaucracy more than anybody and was the best at it was Clinton. Without a doubt. When he left office, I think there were less people working in the government than when he went in. They worked with Congress and they got rid of a lot of quote the waste. But if you went into Washington and you canned 20% of the people, I'm going to guess it's 1% of the budget, John. It's just not there. It's in the stuff they spend money for and the checks they send out to people. It's just not there. It seems like a lot. Hey, we'll get rid of some guy that doesn't do anything. He's making 150 grand. Well, I'm not going to argue with that, am I? I probably was the biggest, when Elizabeth Warren decided she wanted this consumer protection group for like banks and stuff. What the hell they call it? What's the name of that outfit?
CFPB.
Yeah. Okay, they're going to hire how many thousand people? That means they need how many thousand desks? They need a building. They need a human resources department. By the time you're done with the place, my issue there is you already had Office of Comptroller Currency. You've had the FDIC. You had the Fed. They all already had that job to manage consumer stuff at banks, right? And to do fraud. So they're not doing their job. And I wouldn't care if you'd have canned all the people there and moved them over because they weren't doing their job. But you really didn't need a fourth place, did you? In my opinion. So I mean that kind of duplication. What did
not just duplication, Tom, but let's talk fraud. Think about Brandon Johnson's head tax, which thank God didn't pass. But the whole reason for it was that this was going to be used to fund violence prevention programs, which to me just translates to cutting a check to all the cronies
stand on the side
of Brandon Johnson at his press conferences, who are all waiting for the gravy train to open up for them. There won't be any reduction in violence, but there'll be an explosion in misdirected money from the taxpayer to give the illusion of preventing violence when it's just a fat in pockets and these people sit there and are cheerleaders for them.
Jen,
it's so transparent, you got to like laugh about it.
You're gonna hate when I say this, but look at Brandon Johnson's press conferences when he piles out this money. He's got 15 essentially losers behind him that are going to get the money, and they're all
nodding their heads.
And contrast that with Trump in the Oval Office, with 15 CEOs behind him laughing and clapping for him. It's the same thing. Isn't it?
Or when somebody, the Speaker of the House or anybody else gets these crowds together and they've got their cheering squad behind them, I just kind of like want to tune it all out because it's all optics and it's all meant to obscure what's really going on.
And what I think really is the problem is you and Lawler are very, very jealous that you don't have 15 guys behind you.
We should be up there too.
No, you want to have the guys you just grease behind you sitting there every time you tell a joke is not funny laughing. We'd all like that, wouldn't we? Imagine you and Lawler at the local pub. You got 15 guys behind you. Every time you say something, we go, yeah, those two guys, they know what they're talking about. Well, you're not president, you're not mayor. You don't get to do that.
Well, of course, with Brandon Johnson, when half of the people there our officers in the Chicago Teachers Union too.
Yeah, yeah, well, same thing.
Yeah, I think this is really screwed up. You know,
what is the? Somebody was telling me that they couldn't. Who's the guy who's the head of economic group? Bessett. Who's I keep forgetting.
Oh no, Kenneth.
No, the guy they think is going to be a new Fed chair. Bessent.
Oh, Scott Bessent. Right?
Yeah.
Treasury Secretary.
Somebody, this is a long, long time ago. Remember the movie Man Who Shot Liberty Valance?
Yep.
Whenever Liberty said something stupid, the one guy always laughed.
Yeah.
Whoever told me. So that guy reminds me just to have, whenever Trump says something, he nods his head and laughs and smiles. He's just like the guy in the movie. I go, there's an interesting observation. God.
All right, so the emperor has no clothes. Microcosms.
All right, we got 4 minutes before the break. Having said all this, all the different weird stuff that could happen this year, what do you think? Do I go double bullish, double bearish, neutral? What do you think?
Well, let's think local. You know, let's think about betting on Chicago just for starters, because we know that better than we know a lot of stuff. And I'm kind of thumbs down at this point. I just don't see we got a mayoral election a year from April, and there's a lot riding on it, and unless something happens that's really going to wake people up, I don't see any reversal of where we're going with this kind of mess we have. So
so put the three of us, the three-headed monster, Plunkett and the fifth floor, I don't know if the office is oval, probably, I don't think it is. What do we do first? What do we do first to make the city it's going to be a 10-year plan, but what do we do first?
Well, a couple of YouTubers are talking about boycotting the CTA. And the bus boycott in, Alabama. Well,
why does that help?
Well, you choke off, giving money to an operation that doesn't care about you or its employees or its important role in sustaining, what few chances the city has for survival. And you got a bunch of rum-dums running the thing who are completely unaccountable, who will never ride it. They don't know what's going on.
Of course not, but what do you do to the people that do need to ride it?
Well, that's a decision I guess everybody has to make on their own. You have to compromise with your ethics. If you may believe strongly that you're getting a raw deal on the CTA, but you don't have any other options.
No, I mean, John, I am a CTA rider, and I do ride it at night, but it's... because for me it is more convenient than getting a car, but there are people that can't afford a car that do require to use on buses and trains to get to work.
I agree with you. Boycott is ironclad.
There is
not everybody's going to make the decision the way I would, but I've effectively, that's why I went out and got a car, because I was tired of worrying about where I was going. If I get there in one piece, I'm CTA.
Yeah, but you also live in a neighborhood that's impossible to get anywhere in CTA.
Yeah, and that's a luxury I have that other people don't have, and I admit it.
True.
But
I agree that the CTA is screwed up. I mean, I can tell you because I take it pretty much every day, that going up to Howard on the weekends to see my father, it's about a 50-50 chance that you get off on the other side of the thing. Why? I have no idea. But
right.
Then you have to go off, and as soon as you do, the train that you're supposed to connect with has already left. So now you're sitting on there, and the people in the CTA, they just sit there. Now I get off at Roosevelt, and Roosevelt is a little bit more protected, I guess, because there are more people than there are at Howard. But I can tell you at Howard, you do have the people that ride the trains every day, all day, all night. And it's the 250 motel,
yep.
The moving motel. Two, 3 weeks ago, there was a guy that woke up and was robbed. I mean, but they took his jacket, his shoes, this or that, and it was cold out. And the guy said this, and he goes, well, I fell asleep on the train. And I admit, the one thing that you don't want to do is fall asleep on the train and ride the train, because, there's going to be somebody that will take what they need from you. Whether it's your money, your coat, your
Well, your phone is all going to go.
Oh yeah, I mean they'll take it.
I've seen so many instances too. You know, because I do ride the L, you know, to get places where I don't want to drive or pay for parking or whatever. But I can tell you a lot of times when I've seen that, you know, in the L station, they don't take fares, but you'll have at least one, usually two or three people standing around, you know, gassing with each other. And in the meantime, you got people jumping the turnstiles, going under the turnstiles, loitering, whatever else. And, you know, there isn't any attempt to call anybody out or, you know, connect this with security footage or anything else.
No.
So what's the point of having, you know, three people, union members, looking at crimes being committed and looking the other way?
How do you guys contrast that? And I'm not, you guys are on there, Jimmy certainly more than me, but once in a while, even though Jimmy won't ever believe it, if I take my, everybody knows I take my truck into the same mechanic I've had for 45 years, and he's on the south side, and if I can get somebody to pick me up, I'll hop on the Kedzie bus and it takes you down to the Orange Line. And if you're there, you know, 8 in the morning and the bus comes by, the bus driver is always very pleasant. You sit down and there's the handicapped spots, and if people get on looking like they've got, you know, too many groceries or if they have a baby, people get up and move, and people actually will, you know, bring the stuff down for people. I mean, there's the driver knows half the people. I mean, they get to the Orange Line, they all pile out. I mean, I don't know how it could necessarily work any better. I mean, it's one thing to say that the CTA is screwed up. It's quite another to say there's got to be, you know, how many thousand bus drivers and train drivers that show up on time, do their job, are pleasant to everybody, and it's probably not the easiest job driving in the city. And I think it works 90% of the time, probably works fine for just about everybody.
No, it works well enough for you to decide, you know, for this fair, I'm not going to get my head bashed in, so that's a safe deal. And I agree, Tom, when it comes to buses, I will much prefer taking a bus like at 1 o'clock in the morning if I have to go somewhere than getting on an L car, because at least I can sit next to the driver, and for better or worse, I think I have an advocate there who's going to try to make sure that something bad doesn't happen or doesn't get out of control. On an L car, you could be the only person sitting in the car, and you got what, 150, 200 feet before there's any CTA personnel around.
Well, the idea of getting rid of the person in the middle was crazy.
Inflating the payroll now of the CTA to put a conductor on every L car, which is what it used to be.
Well, yeah, but I don't get with this, and this is the same. If there's a rant I always make on the show and otherwise, it comes from my cost accountant background. Jen, we used to have 4 and 6 car trains, and it was a quarter to get on. And we had the motorman who drives the damn thing, and we had the conductor who was in the middle that opened the doors and those kinds of things, because it's kind of a lot for the motorman. So now we've gone to 8 car trains. We got rid of the conductor. It's $3 to get on the damn thing, and we're losing money.
$2.50.
If you go into the thing, isn't it $3 for the day that includes a transfer or something?
They don't have that anymore. You have a 2-hour window.
Well, whatever. The last time I went, it cost me $3 because I had to get, when you went to the machine, wasn't it $3? I thought it was, but anyway.
I think $3 to buy the card.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the actual fare is only $2.50.
All right. So, but the point being is, you know, where's the savings from the conductor when we went from 4 or 6 car trains to 8 and we got rid of the second guy? You think we should be rolling in dough, right? Yeah, we're not.
Yeah,
went
into somebody's pension.
Yeah, but you know what? The thing that you guys are kind of on, and you're right, the issue is 90% of the people working there that actually do their job are being painted with the brush by the other 10.
Oh, easily. Right. I mean, Tom, the funniest is, and I'm sure John will comment on this, is when you watch them, like, fix the tracks, that's the most hilarious thing ever. You have, like, 15 guys, and 2 guys are actually working, and the other 13 guys are sitting around looking at the other 2 guys working.
There could be 15
guys.
Yeah,
and everybody's L ride is being lengthened by 10 or 15 minutes because...
Exactly, because, you know, you have to have the flag guy to slow down the train. Yeah. I see that. But then you have at least 4 or 5 people walking around that don't do anything.
They don't even have a tool.
No, they're supervising.
But there's you would think you needed some huge crowbar or something, whatever it is you do. You can't. If I walked up there by myself, with just my bare hands, which aren't as strong as they used to be, what am I supposed to do? Unscrew the rail? what are you doing up there without a tool?
You know, they're rebuilding the State and Lake L station, which is a bad station. It's the worst one of the L. But it's going to take 3 years to do it.
Yeah.
And can you imagine the sufferings of everybody on every L car that has to go through that space because of all the, you know, paraphernalia and people standing around doing nothing? It's going to add 10 or 15 minutes to every trip around the Loopel. It has nothing to do with stopping there anymore.
So yeah, and they also subcontract.
3 years to do one station. I mean, what?
They subcontract that. I know when they did the Armitage, they went from one platform to the next. But they subcontract. And then, of course, the CTA guys have to show up to supervise them. And, the contractors get, do the work. You have your, civil engineers and stuff like that. But the CTA, surprisingly, doesn't have a lot of welders or anything like that. So you have to subcontract out to another company to do that.
What do you suppose the efficiency is on that?
Well, if you watch them, it's not very efficient at all.
Well, I mean, in terms of, there actually is a specific, we got to go to break, but if you have a, when I say that, I'm asking the actual question. Like if you're at Pullman or any other manufacturing place, you're going to, whatever you do, if you take these two pieces of metal, you put them in the jig and you weld them together. There's going to be how the perfect weld should take 40 minutes. All right, so if it takes, at the end of the day, you've done 8 of them, what's your efficiency? It's going to be 65%, right? Because it took you an hour. Now, nobody's ever going to have 100% efficiency, but there's actually a number that's calculated. I don't think the CTA even knows what that means, but there is a number that's calculated. So every job, every operation has a standard time to it, and whatever you do over that, it goes against your efficiency. Now, does anybody even know that in this world anymore? But when you say efficiency, it's not just whether you see the guy eating lunch or not. It's actually what did he do that day, and oh, by the way, how long was it supposed to take? I mean, the CTA, it's put together with rivets, right, John?
Yeah.
So if you pop out 25 rivets and you put them all back in, each rivet probably has some sort of a 15-minute efficiency to it. So at the end of the day, if somebody put in 30, and if you did it perfectly, you'd put in 100, well, then your efficiency is 30%, correct?
Yep.
Well, I don't think anybody even knows the hell I'm talking about on that these days. But I mean, so you guys, let's go to break. When we come back, I mean, it'd be interesting to see, because the federal government's got the same stuff. Where do we start there? I mean, I think Carl's right. We have to start in the medical area because that's where the big drag is. But SP Futures down 21, NASDAQ Futures down 126. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Blowing off big Stocks and Jocks. I'm timing out. We got Ricky on the board on a Monday. Matt Byrne will be here on Friday. They traded each other's off. We have Mr. Jim Lawler in studio. I'm John Flanagan on the phone. SP Futures down 21. NASDAQ Futures down 125. We have the not much going on anywhere real today because it's still kind of holiday, obviously holiday season. Really, one of the European defense stocks slide among Ukrainian peace talks. You know, like that. DAX down 16. Call that flat. Puts you up 9. Call that flat. Check around up 12. Let's give it a 0.1%. So they're doing nothing over there. Nikkei down 223.4%. Hang Seng down 183.7%. Shanghai up 1. Call that flat. So not much going on. Bonds, same thing. Down 2 base points, 4.11. Oil up $1.39, but still 58.13. We've got gold, and this has been the big news this morning. Silver traded 80, was up $5 and something last night. Now it's down 290, 74.29. Gold down $80, 44.71. It was over 4,500 on Friday. Foreign exchange, we've got the euro is at 117.7. The dollar's not been doing too well lately. So these guys are kind of on recent highs. British pound, 134.9, almost back up to 135. Crypto, again, not doing much here. It's up down 344, 87,166. Ricky, what do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
Hey, good morning, Chief. It's currently 741 here in Chicago. We're looking at 15 degrees right now with a high of 27. Windy, mostly cloudy, and much, much colder. Morning snow will be up to 1 inch and then some flurries through the day. Snow can cause slippery roads and reduce visibility, so watch out for that. Phoenix, Arizona, 48 degrees right now with a high of 75. Pleasant with plenty of sunshine today. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low of 54 degrees. Traffic in Chicago, once again, the roads are very slippery, so drive cautiously. Accident and disabled vehicle, north on Dan Ryan, two lanes closed and heavy traffic. Stevenson and Eisenhower are also experiencing some heavy traffic inbound a little closer to the city, and there's also mild congestion on Kennedy and Eden. It's getting a little messy out there, so don't forget to drive safe and drive slowly. Cardinals lose to Bengals yesterday 14-37, and 49ers barely beat Bears 42-38. Bears are now 11-5 and remain at the top of NFC North. Sunday, January 4th, we got Lions at Bears at 3:25 p.m. and Cardinals at Rams at the same time, 3:25 p.m. Blackhawks lost to Penguins yesterday 3-7, and for the NBA we got Suns at Wizards today at 6 p.m. and Timberwolves at Bulls at 7 p.m. That's all I got for you, Chief. Back over to you guys.
Yeah, the you know, the city problems, I mean, we talk about that because obviously we like the city, we see something kind of dying around us, but I think it's a, whenever you can find a way to solve kind of one problem, guys, I think it leads itself to somewhere else. I mean, you know, the federal government. Are we being straight with people? I mean, are the people who buying homes here, are they doomed to $100,000 tax bill? That seems to be the attitude. No matter what we send them, they can pay. What is the story with this? The current city budget. To those that don't know, there was a revolt on the part of the aldermen to not have the head tax. With the head tax, a horrible idea. Unfortunately, they came up, was kind of led by that Wadrizak guy, right? He used to be my guy.
Yeah.
Then I got shifted over to the 43rd. I've gone back and forth from the 32 to the 43rd ward probably four times since I moved there in 20 years. It's kind of weird, but I'm right on the bubble, as they say, John.
You're on the cusp.
On the cusp. And I wonder if these guys have a feeling, do they think they're on a sinking ship or aren't they? You look at the stuff they're not doing, and you look at the stuff, how can you get the revenue is kind of the key, and because you're always going to have expenses, but the revenue is kind of the key. The pension funds, somehow you got to deal with that, and I don't think anybody wants to do that. The schools, you got to deal with that, and I don't think this guy can do that. You need to make people have the appearance of being safer, even though, I mean, not the appearance, you need to be someplace somewhere. I think you got to deal with the smaller stuff. I mean, you can't have somebody get mugged on the street and okay, well, call your insurance company. Someplace, somewhere, there has to at least be some fear put in the hands of people that are doing those kinds of things. Yet, I was talking to your buddy, Kevin, yesterday, and in terms of, you know, crime and punishment, and Kevin was saying, well, you know, you have a situation where he's not wrong. So we had a state's attorney here for a long time that felt that if somebody busted into a store and ran out with 15 things of blue jeans, you know, that's not something you do. You don't want that person in jail. You don't want those kinds of things. And whenever anybody talks about, you know, laws not being enforced, which Carl does all the time, and I wouldn't accuse Carl of this, but I'm going to say every person who bitches about something like that is probably going right through a stop sign in the last few weeks. How many people do we see do red lights this morning, Jimmy? A couple. And how far do we go? We went a mile. Or if the teacher calls from school and says this kid's being an ass, immediately take the side of the kid. I mean, it's not just the black kid who breaks into the department store. It's seemingly like it's everywhere, John, and I don't know why that is. I mean, we reached the point where, and you never wanted to get here on the trading floor, because all it's Armageddon. It's if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And I think right now people feel that so many people are cheating that if they're not trying, we have taxes or whatever, you're not trying. And I never thought we'd get that way, but I would start really sort of at the very bottom. I would say to the mayor, if I was the mayor, I'd say, look, in 6 months, this is what the city's going to look like. We're not going to be riding any L back and forth to check at your house. We're not going to be robbing people. We're not going to be doing drugs on the L. We're not going to be doing on the platform. We're not going to be doing them on the street. You've got 6 months to clean up. And by the way, we're going to have all these areas where you can go. If you feel that you're, any kind of health issues, we'll give you a free physical. We'll do something. There has to be a huge program to do this, John. Now, it's going to cost money, but I think if you look at the cost of what's happening now, the long run costs are way worse now. I mean, the idea we can't afford to teach anybody. Not everybody can do this. We can't afford to teach any sort of schooling to people in jail. I'm not talking about the hardcore criminals. And we can't teach anybody sort of a trade. We can't do anything where the chance where they get out of jail, they won't be right back here. Well, okay, because it costs too much. Well, what does it cost of just having everybody back there all the time? I think we need to have some people that know how to do cost work a little more than we have. I mean, what's the long-term benefit versus cost? And I don't see any of that going on. Do you? We have to tell everybody that somehow the tone has changed. To where, guess what? If you want to put a factory here in Chicago, you're going to get guys out of the Chicago public schools that are going to be able to weld. They're going to be able to read drawings, things that people in manufacturing want to do. We have to have some computer learning, some stuff that we have to increase our. I use the term human capital, and I don't see any of that. I mean, But the point is, you got to tell people where you're going to be in 2 years, and you got to get there. You got to show progress. As long as there's progress, people will work with you. I think. Just saying.
Yeah, people want to be part of a winning side. If they get support, and they got somebody who's going to back them up, sure. But I don't see any of that happening. It's just a race to the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's exactly. I don't see why we can't continue to be a manufacturing hub. We've got the rail, we've got the stuff, and we've got why we can't be a data center hub. We still have an awful lot of electrical power and stuff here, and we probably could get more pretty easily. I mean, there's a lot of advantages that we're not using at all, I don't think. Just saying. But I don't know where you...
Hey, Audrey.
Audrey, with us? Hey, what's up, bud?
I'm here.
Well, I didn't know you were... Well, help us with this. We're trying to figure out all the Black Swan events that could happen this year to help out the money manager, being me, to where all the rocks in the road are. And
I was listening to you guys, and the problem with Chicago now, especially any big city, but... You're operating on a couple of premises here that I think, first one is the drug issue. You're like, well, we'll get everybody a test and get you off the street. Well, the first problem we've got there is that a lot of people like doing drugs. They don't want to give up doing drugs. So the problem is you got to get rid of drugs. So, because people are not all, there's an incredible amount of people that do a variety of drugs. And unless you do stop the flow of drugs, which our current administration is trying to do, but there's no enforcement in the cities. You're not helping people by providing needles. You're not. You have to go after, you have to cut the head of the snake off, which is the supply. And then if people don't have them, they can't do that. Look what happened. Here's an extreme example. There's no drugs in China because it's a death penalty to deal drugs. Maybe they need something more extreme, because as long as there is a supply, there are people who avoid reality by doing drugs, and that's basically what it is. You know, if they're there, somebody's going to use them. It doesn't mean that the person is inherently bad, but people are weak, they are scared, they will, they are poverty-stricken, and to escape reality, instead of confronting it, because some people don't know how, they're going to turn to the simplest solution, and that's to obliterate themselves.
Well, I think some of these new drugs are so powerful that I don't even think you... I think the strongest people could go down downhill. And how many people are...
And that's why they simply can't be allowed to exist. That the perfect world is you would just obliterate the supply, which is what we're trying to do with...
Well, whether we are or whether we...
It's not just the Mexican cartels. It's... You know, it's all the other mobs, all the different countries that are entrenched. It's the same thing with the way I feel about the human trafficking. And Chicago is a huge hub. None of this can function without the complicity of people in power.
Well, without getting into a huge drug conversation here, I've always been on the idea that you can mouth off like a bazoo and talk about stopping the drugs coming from someplace. Simple fact is they're being sold here, and if you decided to take care of the people here, but there's a lot of people here that are on the bad side of this, and if you cut off the drugs from Venezuela, and if John and I are in the business, which we're not, what does that mean, John? The price just goes up, right? I mean, we got to find a way that the people here, when I started on the Board of Trade, well, I wasn't on the Board of Trade, but I had a badge there for a while. I mean, the amount of cocaine going on down here was like off the chart. Wall Street, everybody. Look at how many of the aides in Congress are coke heads. I mean, it's if you're not willing to stop it at that level, I mean, the idea of blowing up boats, I guess it helps, but...
Well, no, we're not talking about that, because there's too many drugs that are pervasive and everything. It's everything. And probably like any other corruption, it's like prohibition. It's like anything. So if you... Unless you eliminate the source, you're not going to eliminate any kind of addict, cigarettes, alcohol, drugs. So it depends what your tolerance is. But the point is the tolerance level for everything.
Hey, careful on the alcohol, will you?
Okay, you know what I mean. Yeah. I mean, the problem is that there is no enforcement to your point earlier at the beginning. I can remember... being young, learning to drive, and man, if you didn't put your signal on, you got pinched making a turn. If you had a taillight that was out, if you were 5 miles over the speed limit. So there's been lack of enforcement for the last 30 years. So it's been a slippery slope in the acceleration in the last 20, in the last 10, in the last 5. All you have to do is drive on any Chicago highway and realize there's Air Chicago Metropolitan Expressway. Now, you cross the state line to Wisconsin, and you're going to get nailed. So I don't know.
Well, what do you think? We had this discussion with Carl, because Carl's always ranting and raving about putting people in the streets that are breaking the antitrust laws and charging too much for whatever. And my argument, and John, feel free to pile in on this, it's not my argument. My discussion is you've sort of let it go too long. It's like if you had a kid... that you tell him curfew was 10 o'clock and every night he comes home at 12 and one night he walks in at 12 and you slap the shit out of him. He's going to say, what are you doing that for? I've been coming in at 12 every night for the last 6 years. I mean, how do you do that?
The problem is there are laws on the books and they're not enforced, and the problem is they don't want them to. It's not our rank and file policemen. They've been told not to enforce these things. They've been told to look the other way. So until you look at who's running this and why it's all okay to let Chicago's gone to hell.
Yeah, but I mean, this morning I would have picked Jimmy up in the snow. And there's this goofball on his bike. And how this guy didn't hit him, I don't know. He blows right through his red light on the bike. Never even hesitated. Never looked right or left. And some guy almost turned into him. And I think, if you were to pull that guy over and say, by the way, you're not supposed to go through a red light on a bike, you idiot. The look on his face would be, what are you talking about?
and that's the problem.
Yeah.
No, but there's no rules. Okay, well, there's rules of the road. There's laws for reason. it's escalating to a point with everything. It started with a broken taillight, and now we got it's okay to shoot people. So our society has progressed so much with the laissez-faire, it's okay, do what you feel. It's not okay. And until people start acting with the laws and right and wrong, and the bleeding hearts who never part, see, all the people who say, oh, it's okay, don't live in the area of society where problems happen. I think that everybody who thinks it's all okay to let bad things happen to other people should have to come and live.
Hey, well, Odd, we're not going to solve this problem, but let us know what's going on in real estate. You got 5 minutes. What do you think the 2026 is going to be? Jan's not...
I'm still bad about the other stuff.
I know.
Okay.
Well, I get it. But John didn't give the world's best prognostication for revenue coming out of the downtown in Chicago. What do you think is going on in the retail market? You guys are, you know, houses are still moving, I think, and I think you guys have a better year next year because...
I think it's going to be a really good year. I think, especially after you get rid of Powell, we're going to get some interest rate cuts. I think if you say we're hovering around.
Careful with that. You're going to get short-term interest rates cuts. I think the long-term might not go down at all. The last three cuts in the long-term is the same, right?
I think we need interest rate cuts. We need at least, I think once we get under 6, the floodgates are going to open. We're hovering there now. Action is still, it's still there. It's busy. We were 6.125, 6.25. I think it's going to be a good 26.
How much is the encroachment actually coming back from your place yesterday? The head of General Mills was on there, and he was talking about the bifurcation in. He says 80% of the population is having real struggle just buying stuff, and he's like, we've lowered the prices of some huge percentage of their stuff. General Mills don't know, they make Cheerios and other kinds of stuff. And he goes, we've lowered the prices, certainly haven't raised them. He goes, but the other 20% seem like they could afford everything. He sounded like he was on Stocks and Jocks, for God's sake. And, I mean...
Well, that's true. I mean, the part of the section of the economy that's participated in the stock market boom, had their housing for a long time. It's the gilded age for them, but for the other people who never recovered from a recession or not gotten a great job or have just tried to struggle against, you know, the last 6-8 years of rising prices and everything. I'm seeing things getting better. First of all, gas is a lot cheaper, so that's wonderful. And I got eggs 2 for $5 the other day. Yeah, so I'm seeing some things coming down. I think we're going to see it break loose.
Well, how does the dude we Audrey and I took the pooch to the dog, or Audrey did, and I went with to the dog park, and like I said, this old guy was in there, and he's talking about his daughter. Did he say she have a house or a condo in the city? Well, I don't remember, but he said her taxes went up $5,000, right?
Yeah.
Now, what does that do to you?
I'd like to know what they're doing with the money.
But I'm saying, what does it do to you? Now, Jan, you mentioned as soon as the tax, this is mostly the north side, right? As soon as that came out, you saw like 4 or 5, housing for sale signs. Now, what does that do to somebody who, you know, you and Nance have been pretty unified in saying a lot of people that you sell a house to, not the ones that are paying cash, but the ones that are coming in and getting the mortgage through Nance, they're pretty much all in on this house. I mean, it's not like they're paying $2,000 for the mortgage and can easily afford 4. What happens?
No, people are struggling to get that toehold.
Yeah, no,
they're struggling to get in, and it's the taxes are a killer.
So what happens if you put somebody in a place and you think you got everything all straightened out, and Nancy got them a pre-approval and all the other good stuff that you guys do to make this right for people, and all of a sudden, 4 days before the close, you know, John gets on the show and says, "Hey, watch out! All these taxes are up $500 a month." What does that do to the deal? I mean,
most of the time, it will kill a deal. A lot of time, people are so close on ratio, debt-to-loan ratio, that, sometime $100 will throw them out. So, yeah, it's a problem, and it's going to continue to be a problem. And I tell you, Illinois is losing people for a reason. You know, you can live elsewhere.
But you also have said on the show and elsewhere that the people that sold, you sold houses here and they moved to Indiana 10 years ago was a deal maker, and you've said that's evened up.
You know, some of the prices have, but the taxes have. So you still can't. I mean, if you don't have to live on Lake Michigan or the fanciest suburb, you could still get a great deal if you just cross the border, in four directions here. You could still go and live anywhere else. And there's a lot of other places where you could live for probably.
Where in Indiana would be an equal move from Orland? Sure as hell wouldn't be East Chicago or something. Where are you talking?
No, you're pretty looking like Chesterton, St. John, Maryville, Crown Point. Those are all the places that are close to the border that people literally hop on the expressway and they're in Illinois in 5 minutes if they're still working here. So everything there's. There are high-end developments that are clustered close to the border, close to 8094, close to 394. A lot of those little farm towns are now flourishing.
Can you imagine Flanagan in a farm town?
I would imagine that John could adapt anywhere.
Thank you.
I can't imagine Jimmy in a farm town. Well, that'd be quite a group. You two guys in a saloon in some downtown farm place. Anyway, so what? You think the real estate's going to be decent? What do you think I need to look out for in the market? I was talking about maybe a tax increase near the end of the year if the government stays as broke, is something I'm watching out for. More dollars coming into the flow. Were you on early enough to see the $8 turn in the silver last night? Traded over 80 and
no,
it came in. It was like 70.
I just caught that this morning. Interesting. Be an interesting day.
Yeah, it should be an interesting.
Well, you got to remember what we all used to say when we were on the trading floor. The second stringers are still working because all the big guys are on vacation. So you got to take everything that happens until after New Year's with a grain of salt.
What did you just say about us?
Well, I'm saying, remember?
I think we were just called a second stringer, John.
I'm talking about the trading floor. You would know what I'm talking about.
The
big guns went on vacation and they left their assistants in charge, and all of a sudden the market's rocking and rolling. Everybody's like, what's going on?
Here I thought we were big guns. I guess we're not. What can I say? Anyway, thank you.
Worst things than a second stringer.
I suppose. Well, everybody, good job, Ricky. Thank you for covering for Matt.
Happy 2026 to all of you.
Oh, yeah. We probably won't have you on before. We might. Who knows?
If you need me.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll let you know.
Happy, healthy New Year to everybody.
Yes, thank you. Jimmy, you too. Jimmy's going to be out the rest of the week up in Michigan. Everybody's going someplace. SP Futures down 27. NASDAQ Futures down 164. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
That's all, folks.